Weekend Mornings with Glenn Van Zutphen. Replay from Money FM 89.3.
You're listening to Money FM 89.3. It's a weekend here. We're taking it easy somewhat. And we were talking about marketing campaigns and brand marketing and what companies should be doing. I am with Miguel Bernas from Timberwolf Media and CMO at large at Black Marketing. And Miguel, you were talking about this watch guy doing a really good job with zero production budget and a captive audience of how many millions of viewers?
Yeah, he has a subscriber base on his YouTube channel of 100,000. I don't know how many people subscribe to his email newsletter. But the YouTube channel has 22 million views.
That's good use of resources, really.
It's
expertise, I guess. It's the way he talks about what he knows.
And you should see this dude's video. He shoots. You can tell he's in his office because it's a very plain background. He has two camera setups. He has one where he's sitting on his couch or whatever, and then the other is when he does close-up shots of the watches that he handles. And that's it. There's no location. He probably does everything on his own.
And coming from a TV background, I know how hard it is to produce just a few seconds of video. It takes hours to do. But apart from this guy, who else do you think SMEs or big companies who are doing a good job at, well, marketing the brand?
So let me give you another. This is a tech company example that I like. So there is a Tel Aviv-based customer data platform company called Optimove.
Okay.
So one of the cool things they do about their marketing is that they basically run an online magazine designed for digital marketers. So it's like a MarTech kind of, and it's a combination of like an online magazine and an email newsletter, which they call Post Funnel. So it's a very, very niche audience because you're talking about digital marketing people, how they use technology, modern innovation and digital marketing techniques, etc. So again, very, very select audience. They've attracted a subscriber base, I believe, of somewhere between 40 and 45,000.
Okay.
Right? And again, these are people who are reading your stuff on a weekly basis. You can reach them for free because it's all based on email. And again, you've got this ongoing relationship. Now I'll sort of switch sides again and go back to an SME example. There's another YouTuber that I like for a company called Fort Belvedere. They do, you'll appreciate this, Tim, they do ties and they do pocket squares and stuff like that.
I used to appreciate those things. Men's furnishings.
Yes, yes. So that's his business, right? He runs an online store, but he does a YouTube channel called The Gentleman's Gazette.
Okay.
Where he talks about, you know, how to dress up in suits and, you know, this is the proper way. I'm imitating his accent. This is the proper way of drinking champagne. And, you know, it's for this kind of very dapper gentleman kind of target audience. But again, this is his marketing, right? His marketing consists of his YouTube channel and a newsletter. And that's how these guys drive their business. And I think, just again, to come back to kind of marketing speak, the best description I ever heard of how to think about your audience, whether it's your, you know, your Instagram followers, your YouTube subscribers, your email newsletter subscribers, or your LinkedIn followers, this is your pre-customer database.
Okay.
Right? Pre-customer database means that you have it is a database. These are people who have willingly given you their contact details, who have put up their hand up and said, please stay in touch with me. But they're not necessarily customers of your product.
Right? They just want to know what's happening.
They just want to know what's happening related to the category, the product category that you happen to be in. So they may not be customers yet today or even tomorrow or even next week. But when the time comes for them to need a product in your category, you're the first ones they think of because they've already got this relationship with you.
That's what we would hope, right? But then it comes down to, from your description, you've got a captive audience. And then on the other side of the argument, you've got an awareness campaign that everyone seemed to be doing as well and engaging very popular influencers. who may or may not align with your brand or even the product that you're selling, but just because they have millions of followers, you're engaging them to do something for
you.
Well,
first of all, if you
are... Which is a turnoff as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I mean, and this is where I think a lot of brands get their approach to influencer marketing wrong, right? Is that there's a tendency to just sort of look at influencers and decide which influencer to partner with purely based on what their numbers look mm-hmm. like, right? And I think what's more important is, you know, there's got to be an alignment of brand values. And, you know, the reason why you work with an influencer is because they have access to an audience that you personally want access to as well.
Not 15-year-old kids if you're selling, you
well,
know, $1,000
exactly,
watch.
Well, exactly, right? Or if you're the monetary authority of Singapore and you have a very different audience, you know, you don't use millennials who are essentially lifestyle bloggers right. or lifestyle Instagrammers or fashion Instagrammers. There's an inherent kind of mismatch with that kind of thing. So the more important thing is that you find people who have an audience you want, mm-hmm. But also with whom you have similar brand values, right? There are things in common so that it's not out of place when they talk about your brand. But even at the same time, while you're using those influencers, you still have to keep in mind, like, how do I work with an influencer in such a way that I can, well, to use a kind of crude term, harvest their followers
right.
to convert them into my followers, mm-hmm. right? And again, there's great brands that have figured out how to do this. They work with a number of influencers to make people aware of their brand and talk about their brand, but then bring them into their channels and their platforms and convert them into their subscribers and get them to follow their newsletter and get them to follow their YouTube channel.
So on paper, that's how the process should be. But
yeah.
Okay, so you get this. Let's just say you have a 20-year-old influencer with a million followers. What are they called now? Key opinion leaders. Mm. I don't know how he can be a leader at 20, but okay, a 20-year-old key opinion leader, 1 million followers, and then you get this luxury brand engaging this young person for a watch, let's say, that costs $5,000, and then you get a father seeing this mm-hmm. on Instagram. It's a turnoff, right? I would
yeah.
be. Like, why right. are you mm-hmm. wearing a watch that it took me 5, 10 years, 20 years to afford?
Yeah, and this is, I think, you know, one of the temptations all the time to when brands are considering doing any kind of content, is that there's always the temptation to say, let's go for the widest audience, right? Mm-hmm. Let's go for the biggest audience
because that's what the brands are ultimately looking for—the number.
Yes, but also this is a way of thinking that again goes back to what I was saying at the beginning of this talk about how advertising is traditionally done, right? In the traditional kind of interruption-based mm-hmm. advertising model, you advertise in the TV station and the radio station, you know, what we refer to as mass media, right? You go for the widest possible audience. And in that, out of that 1 million people, there's maybe like 5,000 people who are relevant to you.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in those days, you had no choice, right? There was no medium that reached those 5,000 people. And what I'm saying is now there is, right?
Yeah.
Now you can. And not only can you find the influencers that are relevant to those 5,000 people, if a kid can create a successful YouTube channel or a successful Instagram account, what's to stop a brand from doing the same thing and creating something that is just as relevant to that audience? So, you know, there is an opportunity, I think, for every brand, if they do this properly and if they take the right approach, to behave like a media company, behave mm-hmm. like a publisher, and attract the audience that way. And, you know, the other thing that I'd say, if you're in marketing right now when you're considering this type of approach, is don't be afraid to go niche.
Yeah, and stop chasing the numbers, right?
Yeah, stop chasing the big numbers,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
I mean, it's much more important to go after a relatively small but very, very passionate, very, very enthusiastic audience
who would
and
pay
grow
attention,
from there.
Right. Exactly.
Yes, because they'll pay attention, right?
Because those, I think, those people who mm-hmm. would engage back with you will be your, in a way, influencers because
right.
they have more credibility.
Yeah.
if they tell or recommend something because to their friends.
Yeah, because if they talk within that community of like-minded people exactly. who are all into the same thing, mm-hmm. then it's just way more credible and it's much more believable.
Okay. All right. We're speaking to Miguel Bernas from Timberwolf Media, founder of Timberwolf Media and CMO at large at Black Marketing. Now let's get to the personal stuff. This one I'm really personally interested in because you also specialize in personal branding and, personal branding is important, especially for people who are out there and the big wigs and things like that. What can they do? What can we do to do this right?
Well, first of all, the principles are not that different, right? Mm-hmm. In the sense that it's about creating relevant content and, you know, trying very hard to think about what are people genuinely interested in rather than what I have to sell them. Mm-hmm. So, And you know, especially from a personal in a professional personal branding environment, you're essentially talking about platforms like LinkedIn. And the reason why I think LinkedIn is really powerful is that it kind of gives you license to talk about yourself and celebrate your successes, your career successes, etc. But also. It's also this fantastic platform to just share with other people what you know.
Okay.
And, you know, I keep using the word value, like the importance of having value in your content. And value is the difference, I think, between the reason why somebody follows you on LinkedIn versus somebody that you have to run after because you're trying to make a sale, right?
Okay.
And, you know, value is when they actually see this, you know, this person on LinkedIn is giving advice or he's talking about some interesting insights related to my industry. And therefore, I want to follow him. I want to connect with him because he's very active and he'll post something new every couple of days. I can, you know, he's always going to drop pearls of wisdom or something that is relevant to me or useful to me. And I think, you know, this is where LinkedIn really becomes powerful because there are a lot of guys who are able to create, you know, really personal brands right. around themselves and where they talk about the things that they are expert in, you know, things that happen in their industry, things that they observe, management lessons that they've picked up over the years. And, you know, everybody listening to this radio station right now, you know, if you've got a job and if you've been working in the same industry for several years, you are an expert in some shape or form mm-hmm. in your industry or in whatever it is that you do. So you can talk about, you know, as long as you stick to the things that you know and the things that you understand, you can build an audience around yourself as well, right? There's no reason why you can't do that.
Well, I am doing this all wrong then because when we started out, nobody knew what social media would do and what LinkedIn or Facebook or even Twitter or Instagram would. So I tried to be a generalist. I tried to give everyone, I mean, from my background, you try to give everyone a little bit of something, hoping you cast a bigger net with bigger followers. So now you're telling me I'm doing it all wrong.
Well, I think that you should, first of all, you should stick to what you know, right?
Okay. Yeah, it's what I know, but it's still a big, wide thing.
Yeah. Well, I, you know, if you stick to what you know and you stick to, it comes back to what I was saying earlier about niche audiences versus
so what
mass
you're
audiences.
Saying, would you recommend somebody who's trying to, you know, market themselves as a personal brand to do different accounts perhaps of their different interests so they attract the right niche follower?
I actually am more in favor of like concentrating or just on just one or two platforms
okay.
or even better just one
okay.
right?
But how many expertise of yourself can you put in one platform without confusing your followers?
Well, I mean, so one of the things, and this is really how social media works that people have to keep in mind. One of the reasons why I advise it's better to stick to one or two rather than try to be across, you know, six different platforms, which mm-hmm. is always tempting. Is that part of the success of being prominent or having a high profile in one of these platforms is the quality of your content, sure, but also the consistency and the frequency.
Okay.
So let's take LinkedIn, for example, right? for the more high-profile people on LinkedIn, one of the things consistent about them is that they're always on LinkedIn and they're always posting stuff pretty much on a daily basis.
All right.
Now, it doesn't mean that every single thing has to be like everything you post has to be like a 500-word blog post or a, you know, or a high production value video. It could be just things like sharing an interesting article you wrote or commenting on some other person's interesting article, right? As long as you remain active, right, there has to be a level of activity. Because at the end of the day, just like any other social media, just like any other social network, it's all about what shows up on a person's newsfeed, which means that you're completely at the mercy of the algorithms of these platforms.
And many of us don't really understand.
Yes. And every time you post something, what you're essentially doing is you're providing signals to the algorithm saying that, oh, here's somebody who's always posting stuff. And every time he posts something, he's getting more engagement, he's getting likes, he's getting so-and-so. And so let's say I'm following Tim on LinkedIn and Tim is always posting. The algorithm on running my newsfeed will say, oh, Miguel has a tendency to read everything that Tim posts and like stuff.
You're going to show me more of your stuff.
So, yeah, so that it's going to show me more of Tim's stuff, right? That's exactly what it's kind of designed to do. Now, the difficulty, of course, is that not everybody, especially if you're a CEO, or not everybody has time to do this kind of level of attention and production. And that's where, you know, that's where companies like Black Marketing come in, is that we, you know, what we actually do is we run profiles for business leaders, for entrepreneurs, for CEOs who realize that maintaining their profile on LinkedIn is important, but don't necessarily have the time or the attention to, you know, do it all themselves.
Very interesting topic. We're talking to Miguel Bernas here. A lot more to talk about, really. So I'm going to keep you right here for a few more minutes, Miguel. But we are getting you going this Saturday morning. A very interesting conversation with Miguel Bernas on branding, both company and personal. So we're into personal branding now, Miguel. You were talking about LinkedIn. How can a person be successful then when they're doing their personal branding? Give us some tips.
One of the things that we like to talk about at Black Marketing is the importance of balance. So I just mentioned earlier that you want to try and be active on LinkedIn on a daily basis, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's, you know, sharing interesting articles you've read, or commenting, or, you know, writing an article or writing a blog, or even better, recording a video and sharing that on LinkedIn. But you need a balance, right? And we refer to something called a 4-1-1.
Okay.
And that means that if you have six pieces of content, you know, you're going to have the one piece of content that is kind of a little bit more blatantly self-promotional than others, right? Then you'll have another one, which is something that's kind of related to your industry. Maybe it's more about thought leadership. But, you know, again, still very much linked to what you do professionally. And then you have four, which are kind of like the lighter type of things, right? They're more general. That's where, you know, sharing other articles and, you know, more kind of philosophical maybe, or values-based stuff, or even just photos of you with people that you're networking with. You know, I tend to take a lot of selfies at industry events, and those, you know.
So adults taking selfies at industry events, it's perfectly normal, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's perfectly par
for
the
course.
It's fine. For LinkedIn, yeah. Perfectly par for the course. And, you know, and interestingly, that's actually what people like. And, you know, most people forget this, that LinkedIn at the end of the day is a social network. So they're there to see what other people are doing. They're there to see what their industry peers are up to, more than they are there to follow companies, right? So this is why, you know, when one of the most common questions I get from clients is, how do I increase the profile of my company on LinkedIn? And the answer is, well, you have to increase the profile of your people.
So you get your CEO, your CMO.
You have to get your CEO, your CMO,
your
leadership,
CEO, secretary.
Or as many employees as possible. Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Because again, it's a social network, so it's driven by people. It's still driven by personalities.
And these people are really your brand ambassadors.
Yes,
own people are
absolutely.
Your brand ambassadors,
yeah.
Right? Okay, so where are people failing then? Or why aren't there more people being successful in their personal branding efforts?
Well, I think the first one is that they're too passive, right? They're kind of like, you know, you have this situation where
It's an afterthought, right? I'll do my work first and I'll promote myself
and
later.
I don't know if you've ever heard the kind of 99-1 kind of rule, right? Where basically 90%, there's 1% of a user base that is very active. Mm-hmm. There's 9% that just kind of reads or right. just kind of moderately participates. And then there's the 90% that is really just is completely passive, right? Mm-hmm. All they do is read other people's stuff, never comment, never post anything, et cetera. And I think the mistake is that most people use LinkedIn very, very passively. And, you know, you've got to put yourself out there. You've got to post stuff. You've got to share insights. You've got to share your opinions. That's mm-hmm. the other thing, and very important, is that you have to have a point of view. Because if all you're doing is posting Steve Jobs memes or stuff like that, which is, again, par for the course for LinkedIn, nobody's going to remember that, right? I mean, you just sound like everybody else. I mean, you know, people want to hear what Tim has to say and what his opinion is about certain things.
All right. That sounds very interesting, Miguel. Thank you very much for sharing your insights with us this morning on Weekends, Money Weekends on Money FM 89.3. I'm talking to Miguel Bernas, founder of Timberwolf Media, CMO at large at Black Marketing. And if you want to hear what we're talking about, once again, it will be out in our see, I'm promoting it now, right? Am I doing the right way? You can listen to it on Money FM 89.3's podcast tomorrow, hopefully. And also, Miguel has a video that he did talking about this as well on his LinkedIn account. So go look for that if you want to know more. Thank you very much, Miguel.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.